Now, my next guest joining me here is Davy Riley, comedian and friend of the show. Hello.
Hello. How's things?
We were just saying off air. Normally, we're having the crack and bounce,
yeah,
but today we're
talking about movies or something.
Yeah. But that's how your show starts. Sorry, I was going to list off all the things you've done. Firstly, I introduce you and how wonderful you are. You got involved in stand up at just 18. You've been you've performed at every Irish Comedy Festival. Cat Laughs, Forbidden Fruit, Longitude, Vodafone Comedy Festival, the Galway Comedy Carnival, and you're also the resident MC of Dublin's prestigious Comedy Cellar.
Yeah.
But you've loads of other things that you do as well. You're very creative, like music videos and short movies and things like that. You do loads, Davy.
Anything I can do that involves me not having to work 9 to 5, effectively, I will do.
Have you always been very creative?
I don't know. I've actually been trying to think about this recently. I'm like, I don't remember being super creative as a child. I would have always liked drawing and like writing stories, but I think I just wasn't very social, so it was all very internalized. So there wasn't like an outward creativity.
Okay. Now, what I was also going to say was at the beginning of Dysmorphin Time, your show, you give the audience a little warning about the content of your stand-up: eating disorders, depression, suicide. So all fun stuff.
Power Rangers.
Yeah. I feel like a lot of comedians have been going down the route of talking about things that have personally affected them. Are all these all things that have personally affected you?
Yeah, all of them. So that's kind of why I did the show, was as a means of helping me talk them out. Kind of like what Doug sort of mentioned with the video, by putting it out there, it's like, well, I don't have to have this conversation 50 or 60 individual times. It's like, let's just get all my friends and family into a room and I will talk at them all together and they won't have time to interrupt me for an hour.
What's the reaction like from family in particular when you say, I'm going to talk about all the things that have gone on in my childhood and growing up on stage in front of strangers?
It was the first time my folks had heard any of it as well.
Really?
Yeah, it was terrifying. So I kept it all to myself. So growing up, kept any sort of hints of depression or sort of a body image issues to myself. Just thought, oh no, nobody else experiences these things. This is just me. Don't say anything. Don't cause a fuss. Don't make anyone worry about you. Internalized everything, which is of course terrible. Then what? 2 years ago, 18 months ago now. I thought I was up late one night. Problems. I also don't sleep a lot. Kind of get into that sort of very critical cycle of, you know, I'll stay up late at night worrying about how little work I got done. Then I'll beat myself up over it, not be able to sleep, then be too tired to do more work the next day. And then the whole thing just keeps going. So it was one of these sort of nights. I was up and I had my phone out, and some, I think it was just on Tumblr, there was people who followed me online were just asking me questions. And I mentioned something about body dysmorphia, and I'd never actually addressed it publicly before or even with friends. But then a few people started messaging me, being like, oh, that's your experiences are exactly like mine. And I was like, okay, well, this is something some people can relate to. Maybe if I talk about it a bit more, they'll feel less like they're the only people who feel like it. And then also personally, I was like, oh, I'm not the only one who experiences these things. Okay, that's pretty cool. So then I slowly started edging into talking about it on stage, through the sort of going through like the food way first, because I wouldn't have eaten food as a child. Like literally ate potato waffles every day until I was about 18. Like that was all I ate. Potato waffles and baked beans, all I would eat. Christmas dinner, regardless, that's all I would eat.
You must have been a joy.
I was an absolute nightmare. Like just, I was like, they're such basic foods. But if I ever went to, like I'd never stay over at people's houses. I never went on school tours or Gale talks or anything. Like this would involve me having to eat foods that were out of my control because I just had panic attacks. Mm-hmm. I'd eat pizza till I was 18. Like all of these sort of things you'd expect kids to have eaten. I'm like, nope, terrified of them.
And when we hear body dysmorphia, anytime we talk on Spin Talk about body issues, there is this generalization that it's girls. Girls have body issues, boys don't. Boys don't think about that kind of thing. And body dysmorphia is something that we associate with girls saying, oh, I'm so fat. And her mates going, are you ridiculous? You're not fat at all. What is body dysmorphia for someone who doesn't actually know what it is?
It is a preoccupation with a perceived physical flaw. So you see yourself differently to how other people see you. So some people will see themselves as being like too big, or some people will see themselves as being too small, or even just like misshapen, like which is kind of how it manifests with me. Like it's like, oh, I just look weird and lumpy, like your sort of skin doesn't fit. The way I describe it on my show is like a duvet that isn't sitting right in its cover. You know, when you're like changing the bed,
yeah.
You're like, oh, the corners aren't all matching up, except your body. So it's a lot harder to shake it out like you would with a duvet. But yeah, I think there are issues that affect, when I was sort of looking up, like, oh, I want to see what the demographic split was. It's about 50-50 across the sexes, but a lot of the times they are perceived to be female-only issues, which is incredibly damaging both for male and female, because it's that sort of association that society has. It's like, if something is regarded as feminine, it's regarded as weak, and it's just sort of that inherent misogyny that society sort of pushes. But because of that, I think guys do experience these things statistically, like in equal numbers as women. But because there isn't that representation out there, they're like, oh, I'm the only one who feels like this. And then it's even stranger for them. It's even more unusual because they're like, I'm the only one. It's less, I guess, obvious that there is this weird, like an ideal male body image issue. Like, you see gym culture is a huge thing now. There's gyms opening everywhere. Your guys like, I don't have any body issues, and then they'll go to the gym for 4 hours, and you're like, okay, no, stuff exists there, but mm-hmm. people just don't know to recognize it exists within males.
I mentioned earlier that you got into stand-up at 18, so quite young. Mm-hmm. So my idea of the very young Davey is that you're always the funny one in the group and the one in your group of mates making all the jokes. Was that your way of dealing with what was going on?
Yeah, I think it was kind of a defense mechanism. Like, if I just make quibs, nobody's going to sort of delve too deep into things. So I would have been shy in school, but would have had my little group of friends who are incredible people, but still didn't feel comfortable talking to anyone. So it's like, I'll just make jokes, just make loads of jokes. And if people are laughing, then that's fine. I'm doing something okay. Mm-hmm. And I don't have to think about what's going on with me. So like, I don't know if it's the healthiest thing, but one of the things I love about stand-up is it's like, if I'm doing a 20-minute set, that's 20 minutes where I don't have to think about all of the bad things that I have going on in my head. It's like, I'm just talking silly jokes. This is perfect. I don't have to worry about other things.
When you did start to open up and, like you mentioned, realise that, well, if I don't start talking about these things, it's going to get worse. And as the funny one in your group, how do your mates react then when they're like, oh, he's not joking, this is serious and there's something going on here? Did they react well?
Yeah, like the support from friends and family was superb. Nobody was like, oh yeah, but you're just lying. Yeah, like everyone was like, oh, I didn't know that. And even people I was in school with who I wouldn't have seen over the past few years came to see the show when I was doing it last year and were incredibly supportive. And it was really, really lovely, really emotional as well. I was like, oh, all these people, I could have probably just spoken to them at the time, but I guess also I sort of peg a certain amount of, not blame, but I'm thinking of like causation. I was in an all boys school, and I think they just aren't great breeding grounds for sort of positive mental health. Like, you're not really encouraged to talk about things, and everything is sort of presented in a very hyper masculine way, which I think is very damaging. So I think having friends who were in school with me, mm-hmm. coming to the shows and then being supportive of things, like, okay, this is it's a better situation than mm-hmm. I thought it was.
And hopefully we are getting there, you know, and schools, Hannah mentioned earlier on, schools she's teaching in now, like wellness is something that is becoming a priority. So fingers crossed we will get there, and especially in the likes of boys' schools, there will be this message that it is okay to talk about whatever is going on with you.
Oh, absolutely. And I think it's wonderful that this, like, that World Mental Health Day is a thing, and there's always sort of people like, oh, encouraging you to talk. I think something we could do as a society it shouldn't get to the point where people have to say, hey, I'm sad. Okay, we should address the causes first, like look out for the signs, like, okay, these things lead to this, right? Let's mm-hmm. look for those rather than let it devolve to the state where people need to go and get help, yeah. You know?
Well said. Davey, what is going on with you at the moment, and where can people maybe see some of your hilarious comedy?
Where am I? I'm hosting in the Comedy Cellar most weeks. That's Tuesdays and Wednesdays. I just got back from Edinburgh, and then I did the Dublin Fringe, and I was in London until last night. So my head is still...
The fact that you're here is amazing.
I was like, I'm definitely going to sleep in. I know it's 2 p.m. I'm definitely afraid I'm going to sleep in. I'm just getting quite a lot. So,
And you're quite active on Twitter. People can follow you on Twitter.
Yeah, so I post about my gigs a lot on Twitter and on Instagram. So
okay.
because a lot of the time I'll be like, oh, I've got a gig later, and then I'll post it rather than like, hey, you can catch me on Friday. Like, I'm just not great at thinking that far ahead.
Well, what we'll do is maybe have you in Spin Talk the next time you have a big gig coming up. Come and see us again.
Superb, too. Yeah.
Davey Riley, everyone, thank you so much for coming in.